PC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Hello, hello, Kenna McEnroe.
Hello, T.C. Hale.
It's Kenna McEnroe. It's not Kenna.
Yeah.
We'll talk to James later in the show about this.
Yeah. James.
James, he asked a question. I think he spelled your name Kenna.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought it was Adam.
Oh, maybe it was Adam. It was Adam. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Adam, my name is spelled K-I-N-N-A. Just I think you went back and corrected it.
Oh, did you really? Oh, that's awesome.
So I laughed about that. But anyways, and to my left, we have Hottie Patati, Will Schmidt here with us, fitness trainer to the stars and natural health expert.
Hi.
I never know how your hair is going to look.
Yeah, I never know either.
Yeah.
It's always
He's got the fastest growing hair, though. Like
it
one week
grow
it can
fast.
Be shaved, and the next week he'll come in with dreadlocks.
The fro.
Speaks well of my protein synthesis.
Oh, there you go. You should put your hair on the package.
Right. I do. I leave a little bit of hair in all my protein packs.
Good. Just a little hair at the bottom. So, for all you Kick It Naturally listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial, so you can check out their service. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link.
Audible.com.
There you go. We got three free downloads for that. So today,
each of our listeners could get one then.
All three of them. You don't have to fight over them, listeners. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to be talking about supplements. The good, the bad, and the worthless. There's a lot of questions, too, because they're so confusing and there's so many.
There's a lot, and Will and I have things to say about this topic.
Oh, good.
So it's probably going to go two shows. I don't think we're going to knock this out in one show because there's lots of stuff to say.
We'll leave a cliffhanger, though, so you'll tune in for next week.
Right.
Which supplement will kill you instantly? Bum, 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 bum.
Tune in next week.
To find the answer.
Hopefully you're not taking it.
So if you haven't liked us on Facebook, you are behind. That's so 1990. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go to Facebook and then go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all our show topics that we do in the future. You guys can post any questions you have or any shows that you want us to cover. Because let's face it, there's not a lot of topics that are still out there that
we've covered them all because we're ninjas.
Yeah, that's right. We've covered nearly every topic in the world
so far.
So put your questions there and we'll do our best to make sure that we answer them if we know. I won't know the answer, but they might.
But you can make stuff up just like we do. So maybe this, we should just get right into questions and then we'll kind of, because some of these topics we'll talk like 30 minutes about. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah. Good. I need to catch up on my beauty sleep.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
This will be your opportunity.
All right. Andrian, what supplements and why are good to start with, assuming you do some sort of exercise every day?
So this question is kind of why we wanted to do this show, is that most people's question out there is, hey, what supplement is good?
Yeah.
What should I take?
Yeah.
What should I buy that today?
Right.
And the answer is, I don't know. I don't have a clue.
Because we're all snowflakes.
We're snowflakes.
We all need different supplements.
So this is the point. The point is that in the same way that there is no diet that's right for every person, there really is no supplement that's going to bring about great benefits for the majority of people, because we all have different issues that we need corrected. We all have different body chemistry that we need to move in one direction. Now, and there are some things that seem to bring benefit to most people, but most people's situation is hey, I got an extra limb growing out of my ear. What should I take for that? You know, they have something specific that they want to fix, and they want to fix it with a supplement. And you just can't do that in most cases without knowing what's causing that symptom.
Yeah. So to find out what you need, like they could just go to your digestion course, your 4-week diet digestion course, and find out what imbalances they have, and then go from there, right?
Right. So you just, in at least some fashion, you need to look at your own chemistry and see what's going on with you. I really like the glutamine example with insomnia for this. It's a great example for people to understand what we're talking about, is that a lot of people will say, hey, use glutamine for insomnia and you'll sleep. And then people do that and then they sleep. And they say, yeah, you were right. And they tell everybody else, hey, glutamine helps you sleep. But then the other half of the people that are having insomnia for a totally different reason use glutamine, and it makes them totally worse, and they sleep even less. So it's important to understand what's causing your insomnia, because there's a few different imbalances that cause insomnia, and they're kind of opposite from each other. And once you understand the reason, then you can figure out, is glutamine going to help you, or is it going to make you worse? And that's kind of the case with a lot of the supplements we'll talk about today.
Yeah, there are like a very select few like things that the human body just generally needs, and provided digestion is working well, we typically recommend them for pretty much everyone, like a whole food form source of vitamin C, whether you end up getting it through eating meats that are well preserved or plants that have vitamin C intact. Like, all humans need that, and you're gonna fall to pieces if you don't get it for long enough.
Right, and we have someone who asked some vitamin C questions later. We'll get into that more specifically, but the trick is that out of all the mammals, only humans, primates, and guinea pigs are the only ones that don't make their own vitamin C, and yet we need vitamin C for like every single repair type process and all this other stuff.
Yeah, and we also like, there's certain like macronutrients that like you're gonna die if you don't eat them for like a long time. Like, you have to have protein and you need fats in your diet, and you need to be able to digest them. So provided your digestion's working well, there's certain types of proteins and certain types of fats that are generally beneficial for most people. And there's a lot you can do to nuance it to make it suit your own chemistry. But in general, like bone broth and gelatin-rich foods are pretty much healthy for everyone, would you say?
The reason that is because it's not one specific nutrient that you're slamming your body with while leaving everything out. You know, something like bone broth or some form of collagen that is coming from an animal where it's basically where the animal took all these nutrients and they built that kind of tissue or that structure with all of the nutrients, all of the combined things that we need to have. So it's not like you're just taking B12. You're getting all these cofactors and all the little things that help hold it all together. And that's kind of what your body needs.
Yeah, there's some basic building blocks that just, regardless of, I mean, not regardless of what's happening in metabolism, but structurally, you're made of half the proteins in your body are collagen, and you need to make that. And without that, every human is like that. And without the amino acids that help make that happen, there's going to be issues with your own body being healthy, as well as like everybody needs water in some form. We all need some salts and like the various trace minerals. So getting them in the right ratios, there's nuances to that. But there are a few select nutrients that we really find are pretty much healthy for everyone, provided your digestion's working well. We'll talk about those as we go through.
And I think another good thing to do is we'll hit two things. And Kenny, you can remind me of the second one when I forget.
Oh, yay.
And the first one is, let's talk a second about, because we said there's some things that all humans need, but when you look in the mainstream information, they list like six things that everybody should be taking and be taking by the fistful. Yeah. So let's talk about a few of those that are wrong. And number two, let's talk about, Kenna, what was number two?
We're going to talk about the six things that you take by, you didn't tell, no, say I didn't, number two. That's
number two.
That's a trick
question.
Put
you in the hot seat.
I know.
But I was trying not to forget my thing, because I was just transcribing cellulite, and y'all just went all over the vitamin C and collagen and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was remembering things like acerola cherry and camu.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. So the second thing we're going to talk about is going to be like acerola cherry, because we want to talk about that if you are looking for nutrients, it's
low sugar and high vitamins.
No, simmer down. That we don't want to take a fractionated vitamin is not going to help a lot of things in situations. So first of all, let's talk about a few of the ones that everybody says, oh, everybody should take this. And I think probably fatty acids is the first one.
Yeah, I was going to say fish oil.
Fish oil and vitamin D are going to be the biggest ones that
we're
going to talk about. So why doesn't everyone want to take fish oil like, you know, Dr. Oz and every other person is telling everyone to do?
Yeah, well, the word essential has been attached to them by very effective marketing It's just like sort of in our heads that there's these essential amino acids and then there's these essential fatty acids that we've all got to consume a lot of. And there's a lot of support for those within pseudoscientific articles and sort of some bad science. It's concluded that they're really helpful and that we're going to die without them. But those same studies, if looked at more carefully, you start to realize the misconclusions that they made about them. And it turns out that a lot of the fatty acids that have been super hyped as essential are actually very damaging and cause a lot of free radical damage. Even if they've been like perfectly distilled and molecularly preserved on the shelf and in a refrigerator in the grocery store, once they get into your bloodstream, they end up getting oxidized and turn rancid and create a lot of free radical damage. So especially if you're someone who's already in a catabolic or a tissue breakdown state, putting more fatty acids is like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Right. So if someone is, and when we talk about things like an anabolic and catabolic state, if you have no idea what we're talking about, we explain all this in all of our books and in our free 4-week digestion course at kickinthenuts.com. But we're basically just talking about different phases of the body at the cellular level. And anabolic is when the body rebuilds and repairs, and that's when we sleep. And catabolic is kind of when we break down and we're making energy and we're awake and we're active and all that. But so if someone is already in this overly catabolic state, it can cause a lot of problems, and fatty acids are very pro-catabolic, and so that could make that person much worse. But if someone was very overly anabolic, and that imbalance was creating all kinds of major problems, then taking some fatty acids could help pull that person out of that imbalance and could become beneficial to that person, which kind of helps us understand the confusion that may be rampant, is that there are people that can take fatty acids and feel better or improve specific situations or conditions. And so they view that fatty acids as magical and everybody should have them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mistake. It's an error. You know, another thing that might be confusing is when they look at the word essential, which basically means that we need that to get it. Like, we can't make that. Our body can't just make it on its own. We need to get that from some source, so it's essential. And of course, when we hear that as essential for life. I must have so much of it for life.
Mm-hmm.
I must eat all of it to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is mistaken.
It is. And a lot of, like, even within the essential amino acids, a lot of them have been classified as essential through different studies related to agriculture and livestock development. So the amino acids that were found to be the most supportive of growth of the organ, like rapid growth of the organism, so it could be sold for cheaper slaughter, those were called the essential amino acids. And then our diet got based on that, of like what makes you grow the fastest, which isn't necessarily the healthiest thing. As if you look like bodybuilders taking,
I'm not in a rush to get to slaughter.
Right, yeah. You got to be huge. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be smart or healthy or live a long time. It just means you grow really, really, really fast.
Okay, can I share with the class?
No. I just started laughing because when you were talking about essential, I was like, hey, wasn't that some of the names we came up with for the protein powder? Essential
something?
I don't think so.
We had a long list of names.
We had a long list on there. There was a lot.
One of the reasons it took 3 years to make.
Uh-huh. We'll get into more.
It's going to be really good.
It is good. It's right there.
Already. Okay. Yeah. Let me try
there you
some.
Go. Right.
We should explain some of that, too, about, you know, let's talk about that in a minute. We're going to come back to talking about why so many supplements on the market suck.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a second. But vitamin D is another one where they say, hey, take some vitamin D like every 5 minutes. You should cram more vitamin D in your mouth. So why is that not such a great idea?
Well, a big problem with it is when you get too much vitamin D in your bloodstream, it makes your cells, or your bloodstream, too calcium retentive, and it pulls calcium out of the tissues where it belongs, and it creates a big pH imbalance as well as a mineral depletion at the tissue level. So you need calcium in your tissues to stimulate like your immune system and for the muscle cells and nerve cells to function properly. And you create a big imbalance when that highly, highly alkaline mineral gets pulled out and super saturated in the bloodstream. It screws up energy production and it gets deposited in weird places, depletes your skeletal system. So there's all sorts of problems that come from the excess vitamin D pulling calcium into the bloodstream and super saturating it and creates hypercalcemia.
Right. So that's just two examples there of just because you're hearing everywhere that everyone should take something, that doesn't mean it's true. And we do need vitamin D. It benefits us, but that doesn't mean that we should be taking it at this level that they're suggesting. And most people can get everything they need by walking outside.
Yeah.
Go outside. It's free.
Yeah. Sunlight. And it's processed differently too. And your body has more ability to regulate the amount of vitamin D that it synthesizes. But if you're just ingesting it, force feeding vitamin D with a pill, then your body doesn't get to say, hey, I want to not have that.
Right. It doesn't get to decide that it's not such a great idea. We see a lot of people that have very low vitamin D levels and they also have, they're also type 2 diabetic. And their blood sugar is super high. So we kind of view it as, you know, since sugar pulls calcium into the bloodstream and so does vitamin D, both of those things are pulling vitamin or calcium out of the tissues where they need to be, and that's a problem. So if your sugars are high all the time, the body like kind of says, hey, why don't we not absorb so much vitamin D because we already have too much calcium in the bloodstream? So it's kind of like this safety feature that the body has, and we're like, screw you, we're taking vitamin D anyways.
Yeah, the body's really smart. It's kind of bad when we mess with it.
Right. Okay, let's go to the next question.
Adrian, when picking supplements, what ingredients should we avoid?
I do have one I really don't like, and it's in, if you go to almost any drugstore, just a cheap chain vitamin shop, almost everything they sell contains this, and it's dicalcium phosphate. Mm. And because it's a very cheap binder that helps the supplements run through the machines easier, and it's in like if it's a tablet kind of thing, it's kind of using that tablet forming process that holds it all together. But there's a lot of information that shows that dicalcium phosphate can actually restrict your ability to absorb the nutrients in that supplement and all the food you eat.
That's annoying.
Right. So you're paying money for this supplement that's kind of just screwing you over all over the place.
Wow.
So I really hate that ingredient.
I'm also against all the colors and dyes, which are, I think they were originally created as biochemical weapons.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Nazis like created Red 5 as a neurotoxin, and now it's in M&Ms. Like, so all the dyes, it was for real. Like, all the dyes are like crazy. Titanium dioxide's also in a lot of things.
Do you think that was their plan all along?
Yeah.
Just to get it into our
they're
food
winning.
Source?
They're secretly winning. So, right. So the colors and dyes, unless it's like, you know, now supplement companies are getting smarter and they're like coloring things with like beetroot powder. Awesome. Good. Like much better choice than Red 5 or Yellow 5 or whatever it is.
Right.
And also not a big fan of carrageenan and how it suppresses thyroid. And it's actually used to grow tumors in petri dishes. Like, but all the study, you won't find many studies bad mouthing it because they don't want to be responsible for
they
having
don't try it on humans.
It. Yeah. but it's totally messed up a lot of people and impairs a lot of people's health. And it's in like everything. It's in all natural, like ice cream still and a bunch of different foods. It's in juices. It's hard to find stuff without carrageenan, even like throughout Whole Foods Market. So not a big fan.
Carrageenan?
Carrageenan.
Okay.
So the other thing that really bothers me is when there's some type of product or supplement, whether it's a drink or whatever, and they're like, look at all this nutrition we have in it, and you look at the ingredients, and the first one is sugar,
yeah,
or cane sugar.
Maltodextrin.
Right, it's some type of sweetener. So they're trying to give you this, you know, vitamin C in a candy bar, and that really upsets
me. Right.
Like, don't do that.
Because then it'll follow the sugar, right?
Yeah.
Well, the sugar is going to end up causing more trouble than whatever the vitamin is that they're trying to get in your gut.
Especially usually like the kind of... Sorry, did I cut you off?
No.
Okay. The kind of sugar, they'll usually use like maltodextrin, like it's super high glycemic starch, which has all sorts of problems, whether you're trying to avoid sugars or not, like the kinds of sugars that are used as binders. And in creating our complete protein product, like I've realized why so many of those products have that kind of stuff in there is because it's used as a binding agent for other things. Like we really wanted to include this one product or one ingredient that would help with liver function in our complete protein, and it was really hard to find that particular ingredient without maltodextrin, and we had to search the entire global market to find it. And, you know, that added at least a year to production to be able to put all the stuff that we wanted in there without maltodextrin also.
And then we found the guy right down the street in Torrance.
Yeah, and he was like,
just a guy in his
really
garage.
You lit
no, I'm just kidding, but not really. But let's talk about that a little bit, because I think our experience in that kind of helps people understand why so many supplements out there are just horrible, because we were looking at protein powders and we were like, hey, we like none of these.
Yeah.
They all have garbage in them. We need to make something better, so let's just do that. And we figured we'd be done, have it out in 3 weeks. So 14 years later, right. How long was it really?
It was three years.
And this is not a thing where like one day we had an idea to have a protein powder, and then 3 years later we made it. Like, we have been consistently working on this forever because we couldn't find high enough quality sources of the ingredients that we wanted. Everything was garbage. When we could find something that was good and didn't have all these extra binders and junk in it, they were like, yeah, we should have more of that in about 8 months.
Yeah.
And so we wait, and then
right.
So it's, you see why so many products are garbage, because it's really hard to source the high quality ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can source them, they're so expensive that it makes the product too expensive for a human to be able to buy it and live in a house at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's a strong battle to that, and so we're not putting down all these companies that make all the garbage. We're just telling you don't have to use them. You don't have to use garbage. There's other ways that you can do it. And, you know, one of the biggest ways to use at least fewer supplements is to improve digestion, so that you're at least pulling more good nutrients out of the food mm-hmm. that you're eating.
Yeah.
We should probably explain that just for a minute.
Yeah. Why it's so critical is, like, if you don't break down the nutrition that you eat, then it doesn't really matter if you're taking these really great wildcrafted supplements, because they're just not going to get absorbed. And even worse, they'll oftentimes create problems in the body, because they end up occurring to the body as a toxic invader, like that's either unsterilized because there wasn't enough stomach acid or bile, or just a weird big molecule that it doesn't know what to do with because it wasn't broken down properly.
Right. And when you look at that, how the body uses things, this is going to kind of tie back to the bone broth or collagen type situation, because looking at vitamin C, if I told you to run to your drugstore and pick me up some vitamin C, you would come back and the vitamin C bottle would say it's ascorbic acid. And ascorbic acid is vitamin C, but it's just like one little fraction of this whole molecule of vitamin C, which is like saying that A and B are the entire alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. So what happens when you take this ascorbic acid is your body has to pull all of the cofactors from vitamin C and connect it to this ascorbic acid to use it as vitamin C. Now, we use ascorbic acid for other things sometimes, like just to acidify the stool so we can help somebody that's constipated, or maybe we just want to lower urine pH. But those are separate things where we're just using ascorbic acid for what it is. It's an acid. But if you're trying to improve vitamin C, taking something like ascorbic acid that's just a fractionated form of it, after about 2 weeks, your body has used up all the cofactors that it had in reserve, and that vitamin C becomes worthless to you. It becomes just something else that your body has to try and figure out how to get rid of. So when you understand that, it kind of helps you understand a lot of other supplements. And, you know, that sometimes just taking something like a B6 is not the best long-term solution if you're not trying to use that B6 for a specific, trying to correct an imbalance or something. So because you want to get all the cofactors, and that's when we look at whole food as something that you can pull all of the vitamins and cofactors out of if digestion is working well enough to break the food down properly. So when we talk about supplements, a lot of the supplements that we use, we're using it for a specific reason, to fix something that's going wrong. But that doesn't mean that the person should continue taking it forever until they create an imbalance in the other direction.
Yeah, and they should also monitor their chemistry to watch the impact of that supplement to make sure that, one, they're taking the right dose for them, because they might not be taking enough, they might be taking too much. And the only way you're really going to know that is by monitoring your chemistry. So, like with vitamin C, say you're trying to take it to lower your urine pH, and you take 3 grams of it, and your urine pH is like undetectably low. It's right. Like beyond 5. Like you can
you're
get some
peeing fire.
Yeah, yeah. You might catch on fire. Like there's some other problems that you can get from the opposite side of the imbalance. So it's really important to learn how to monitor your chemistry, like we teach in our free digestive issues course at kickinthenuts.com, to try to figure it all out.
And the perfect example of this is when someone bruises very easily. We know that in most cases, it's either an issue where they don't have enough vitamin C, or maybe there's some toxic situation where the body is using most of its vitamin C to deal with some problem. But I had a client come to me last week, and she's like, hey, so I think I bruise kind of easy. And she showed me her legs, and it looked like someone had been beating her for an hour.
Jeez.
It was just a horrible situation. And she said that she takes vitamin C every day. And I look at the bottle, and it's like from Walgreens or some pharmacy, and it was just ascorbic acid.
Mm.
So that doesn't help the situation. That doesn't help lift the level of vitamin C that the body needs. So to finally answer Adrian's question from 25 minutes ago,
yeah.
When it's like, what should I take? The only things that we see that are beneficial for most people are some form of whole food form of vitamin C, like we use Bio-C from Empirical Labs or Acerola Cherry Powder. And there's another one from Garden of Life called Living C that's made from whole foods that I think is good. I think Standard Process has one too, but that brand is only available to doctors and qualified practitioners. But so that's one thing, is a vitamin C source. Some type of collagen protein powder can be beneficial to most people because it contains a wide variety of amino acids that can be beneficial. Gelatin could be beneficial to most people for that same reason. And, you know, with most people, we like to see them fix digestion and use digestive supplements that we recommend. But not everybody can use HCL, but beet greens seem to be beneficial to anybody that's eating any type of processed or cooked food whatsoever, especially if they're having any kind of grains, just because those foods tend to thicken up bile so it doesn't flow so well, and the greens can help thin that out. How about enzymes too? Let's kind of explain how that can be beneficial for most people.
Yeah, the thinking around it is that most raw foods contain the enzymes intact that would be helpful to break them down. But there are other things like particular types of fibers or certain forms of carbohydrates that are really hard to break down, and cooking can help with digestion. But then at the enzymatic level, you destroy the enzymes when you cook them. So people will usually benefit a lot from taking digestive enzymes to help them break down those nutrients and not have to be stuck on a raw food diet, which has its own digestive issues. Certain foods like lactose, the sugar found in dairy, you really need to have lactase as a digestive enzyme to help break it down. And lactase in many people is produced in the intestinal tract by the flora, if they have the right kind of flora, so they don't, those people tend to not have problems with dairy and they can digest lactose just fine. But if you don't have that kind of flora in your gut, then taking a lactase digestive enzyme can fix the problem for a very big percentage of people that think that they are lactose intolerant.
Right. While we're talking about this, let's go to the page 2 of the questions and hit Nisa's question real quick, because that's going to be a good one for this topic.
Do you have any quality probiotics you recommend, and how often they should be taken? I have trouble with dairy, get a sore throat, sinus infection when I eat dairy. I heard taking a probiotic with an occasional dairy meal is helpful. The digestive supplements recommended by your book do seem to help, just not completely, and I adore pizza. I'm right there with you. I adore it as well.
Yeah, so Nisa, what is going on here is it sounds like you just don't have enough of that lactase enzyme, and that's why the digestive supplements helped a little bit, because digestazyme has a little bit of that in there. But what we found is that the people that can't produce this on their own from their gut need quite a bit of this, and that's why we use as a product from Daily called Milk Jest that has a much higher dose of the enzymes that help break down all the dairy stuff. I think we even have that on naturalreference.com. But what I found is with most people that are lactose intolerant, they can start to take that specific enzyme and just take one or two per meal for 5 or 6 days before you even start to introduce any dairy. And if you have that for about a week and then start to introduce dairy, they seem to do fine. And there's a lot of enzymes in the body that we need to repair and all this kind of thing. There's a lot of functions that enzymes that are needed for. And when we don't have enough enzymes, a lot of these digestive enzymes will be converted into these other tools to be used in the body. And so it kind of leaves us without a lot of digestive enzymes. So I don't know if the lactase one is one that the body just likes to convert more to other stuff and we run out of that faster or what. But I do see that a lot of people can use the Milk Jest digestive enzyme and all of a sudden, hey, I can dairy it up.
Mm-hmm. And we also usually damage our flora in a lot of ways on accident without knowing it, whether we're drinking water that has chlorine in it or soda that has phosphoric acid in it, and we just killed all our flora.
Or we accidentally took antibiotics without knowing what it actually does.
Right, or we ate chicken that had antibiotics in it and that killed everything. Right. There's all sorts of ways we can totally screw over our flora. And then all of a sudden our system behaves totally differently because those flora were really, really helping producing a lot of different enzymes. So we can, if we're dealing with this troubled gut that doesn't have all of the natural ecosystem intact, we can benefit a lot from taking digestive enzymes to help us break down our food. And there is one particular probiotic that we found by a company called Panexia that had, like, it seemed like it had all the right kinds of flora that we liked in it. And there's different types of probiotics that are different types of bacteria in the gut that can produce left spin lactic acid and right spin lactic acid. And this company that produced a product called ProB, panexia.com, it seemed to put all of the correct kinds of probiotics in it when we looked at it. And one of the particular probiotics that we really like for a lot of individuals is called L. salivarius, which is really helpful in defending against H. pylori infections. And that's a pretty good one as a staple.
It can be hard to find a good one. Do you have one that you like to use?
It's in the Pro-B one by Panexia. So I like that if you can get access to that. I think they may only sell to practitioners sometimes, but it's also not that hard to just say you're a practitioner and order it from them.
Not that we're recommending that you do that. But, you know, one thing about probiotics is that's another thing that most people can benefit from, but that doesn't mean that they need to take pounds of them every single day. It's kind of a situation where if the terrain is right, the probiotics the beneficial bacteria is going to flourish. So if someone has an episode of diarrhea or maybe they took antibiotics or something like that, then it's real important to replenish that. But that doesn't mean that every person needs to be cramming probiotics every single day.
Yeah, and a good way to think about that is like if you've ever done any sort of organic farming where you're dealing with making compost, you don't have to pour like a probiotic mix on the compost pile. You just need to get the environment right, where the temperature's right and the humidity level is right. And all of a sudden, like, earthworms will just show up, you know, and all this bacteria will just show up and start breaking down the food. And that happens in our guts, too, when the chemistry of the situation is right, when we have strong stomach acid levels and then strong bile levels and a healthy flow of water through the system. We just find the ecosystem naturally generates a really healthy flora count in most cases.
Right. And that also, Nisa, may have been why you heard take probiotics with a few meals to better digest dairy. But the quicker way would be just to supply your body with the actual enzymes instead of trying to get somebody to make it for you down there in your gut, which, of course, is the long-term solution. But I don't even know the specific probiotics that would help create lactase.
I don't know either. I don't know if it's been isolated. Maybe it has. But either way, if you're taking it, like you're taking a probiotic supplement and drinking a glass of milk, it's not going to have time. Yeah. It's not going to have time to sit there and like generate a bunch of lactase to like break that down. Like you'll want to take an enzyme supplement to help with it.
So I'll go ahead and skip to Sylvie because she's about probiotics too. She's on the first page, but a couple questions down.
Okay.
Are probiotic supplements as effective as fermented foods?
Good question. I mean, there's other enzymes that come along with fermented foods that can be beneficial. And then the specific use of particular probiotics, which you may want to emphasize, like if you're dealing with an H. pylori infection, I would want to use like a large amount of a particular probiotic called L. salivarius to help counter it.
Right. And I'm kind of okay with people using both. I'm kind of okay with the fermented foods and the thing and the and the supplements. What I don't like people to do is to say, oh, well, I'm just going to have lots of yogurt, because most of the yogurts that they're eating is just like a candy bar.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not a fan of that.
And yeah, and there's also like some research that's been shown that the excess amount of lactic acid in yogurt is also sort of a metabolic burden, and can even have some sort of probiotic strains in yogurt that are detrimental for some people. Like if you're a woman with elevated estrogen levels around your menstrual cycle and dealing with some hormonal problems that come from that, there's certain strains that have been found to be in like dairy yogurts that exacerbate the hormonal imbalances found in that, and the gut permeability also.
Right, but if somebody wants to do like some kimchi or sauerkraut kind of stuff, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Go at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so many people feel like, oh, if I can get something from food, that's a good idea. And with that particular situation, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. So probiotics is another one of those things that is okay for most people, as long as you don't feel like it's something you have to do every day. Just you kind of want to set, you know, give you that little boost of, okay, body, start making this stuff, and so that they can thrive down there. But it's not an everyday thing for everybody.
That's an important point, because there was a minute there where a particular diet called the body ecology diet was really popular, and everybody was eating fermented foods with every meal.
Right.
And everyone's like, I feel awesome. And then after about a month, everybody had stopped because they're like, I don't feel so good. Like, there's starting to be too many endotoxins. And then I also had another friend who's like a nutritionist coach who's like, I feel good, but I have to go to the bathroom all the time, and they're healthy bowel movements, but I have like so many of them, it's ridiculous. And then when you look at like what is like stool actually made of, other than like the waste of the food you break down, about half of it in most people is actually the bacteria. Like that is like the composition of it. So if you're eating tons of fermented foods and taking tons of probiotics, you're basically adding stool matter to your system.
And all of those bacteria that come in are creating more bacteria.
Yeah, they're all having babies, right?
Got a party going on. Let's take a quick break and have Kenna tell us stuff.
All right. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach, or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com. Debbie, Asheville, North Carolina. So many to choose from. Where and how to buy?
So this is kind of tricky because, you know, one thing I like to see people avoid is, like, I'm at Costco and I'm buying my supplements. And because most of those things or things that you would buy in a big chain store like that are the ones that contain all the garbage. And that it's not like you're not, it's not a situation where, oh, I'm just not getting as high a quality, so it's no big deal. You're getting all this stuff that is a burden to your body. So instead of improving your health, you're actually causing more problems for your body. And you're making it other stuff, junk your body has to get rid of, but also harder to pull nutrients out of the food that you're eating. So how is that good?
Yeah. And you also, I'm also not a fan at all of people taking supplements in, just because, like, in general, or just taking a bunch of supplements because they heard these things were good for them without any real way of tracking it other than a vague sense of if they're feeling better or not, you know, or if, like, even if they're trying to just make a symptom better or not, like, if you're not getting clear on what kind of impact you want to create in your body and how this nutrient or supplement is supposed to create that desirable change, and even a way to track, like, is it working or not? Like, that's an intelligent way to use a supplement. And just buying, like, a handful or, like, a shopping cart full of supplements and taking them all, it might work, but if it does, like, you're still, like, you're going to be clueless as to exactly how it worked or what exactly happened, and chances are it's not going to work at all, and you're not going to know why.
Right, and that's another mistake that people make a lot, is they'll buy a supplement for a specific symptom, and because somebody told them to take that, and they take it and it helps that symptom. And they're like, hey, all right. So they continue to take it forever. And eventually this starts to push their chemistry the other direction and cause problems in the other direction. And they're like, well, it's not this supplement because when I took it, I improved. So it can't be this. I know this thing is good. So they continue to take it and end up falling apart and causing all kinds of problems. So, but when you're looking at where and how to buy, it can be pretty tricky because most of the high quality supplements are only sold to healthcare practitioners. They're not sold to the public because those companies don't want to have the lawsuits, because their supplements actually can move chemistry and actually, you know, do things. And if somebody doesn't know what they should be taking, they can make themselves much worse. And then all of a sudden the company has a lawsuit. But if they sell only through practitioners, now the lawsuit falls on the practitioner instead of the company, and the company's fine. So it's kind of a tricky situation to find something that's really good. But there are a few companies out there that kind of make things that are closer to food, which is always a good idea. You know, a lot of what we use is empirical lab stuff, and most of their stuff, again, is sold only through practitioners, but they allowed us, we went to them and said, hey, we're teaching our book readers how to use this stuff. Will you let us sell it to them on a site just for them? And they're like, okay, here's some that you can sell to anybody that you're teaching in a book how to use it. So we kind of found a little loophole there, but for the most part, it's hard to get the really high quality stuff. Mm-hmm. What else do you have to say about that, Will Schmidt?
I agree. Like, if you're looking to just kind of, I want to reiterate what I said before, like, if you're looking to use a supplement, know particularly, like, how it's supposed to work, like, what's going on in your body and how those two connect, and then have a way to track it that goes beyond just, like, did the symptom happen to go away or not? And you may be thinking, well, I don't care, like, if my pH went up or not. Like, I just don't want to have a rash anymore. You know? It's just like, but, like, to get, and it's great. Like, if you take a supplement and it just happens to work and you're awesome, good. Happy for you. But if you've tried that game a bunch of times now and you've bought like 1,000 supplements trying to fix this issue, you should learn to dig deeper and look closer. Like, what's going on? What are you trying to do? And just the same way, like, if a doctor ever prescribed you a medication, you should ask, what does this medication do? Like, how is it supposed to fix this problem? Because, like, you're probably going to get a scary answer of, like, right, what it does. You know?
And when we're saying monitor yourself, these are not complicated things to do. We teach in our free digestive course how to look at things like blood pressure and pHs and just, like, your breath rate and simple things that you can do at home. But a good example of what happens very commonly is, like, what Will is saying is someone will get put on a blood pressure medication, and what that blood pressure medication does is it drops the blood pressure from wherever it is. And then after about 10 years, they're back at the doctor's office and they're like, well, I'm really depressed. And they're like, oh, we'll give you an antidepressant, which works to help lift blood pressure. So they're taking these two drugs that are working against each other, and they're both, you know, slamming the liver. And that's kind of a similar situation to what a lot of people do with supplements. They end up taking 15 different things, and half of the things they're taking are working against each other, and it's almost like you're driving with your foot on the gas and the brake at the same time.
Yeah.
Which, if you try that, people point at you.
Yeah, my mom, you just described her exactly. She's on blood pressure medicine, and she just got on antidepressants. So I told her about your podcast, and I'm begging her to just start drinking more water and, you know, try to listen to the podcast and do stuff like that to so she can get off of it.
At least understand what
you're
doing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And then she's like, she's getting older, so she's getting forgetful, and she took double the amount of her blood pressure medicine yesterday by accident, and she thought she was going to faint and pass out. And so
right.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
Right. And this is really common stuff, but it kind of takes us back to just learn to monitor at least a few things so you can kind of see, hey, I've been taking this for a while, and now my blood pressure is 180 over 70. I wonder if I should take less glutamine.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, monitoring yourself and learning how supplements work and all that sort of stuff is complicated, and there's so many things to know about your body and how it works and how these different supplements work and how foods impact the body. And you may be like, well, I don't have time for this. I'm just a banker or whatever, you know, like, you know, like, but at the same time, I think the healthiest and most realistic approach to how health in the long term works is to think of your body like a field you're trying to grow food on, like a farm. And we call it like the agrarian perspective of you want to grow healthy cells. And what does it take? Like, Kenna, if I gave you an open field and I was like, all right, grow me a bunch of food. Like,
I would throw it with water.
Right. You'd be like, here's some seeds. Yeah. Right. And you probably have a bunch of horrible crops and weeds.
I am a farmer. Well, in real life.
Oh, really?
But I don't farm it. Okay. People do it.
Okay. Well, how's it? You just own a farm and you put slave labor?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
inherited a farm from my granddad.
Oh, interesting. So if you actually had to grow food on that
farm, I wouldn't know what to do.
Right. It would take a lot of practice and learning and consulting and studying and trial and error. And that's what actually has to happen for you taking care of your own body. Like, we're given like sort of foods to just shove in our mouths as kids and medications we get shot full of. But if you want to like really learn how to take control of your body and fix a big problem and grow healthy cells, there's a lot you need to learn about it. And it takes time. And there's a lot of information you have to sort through and experiment with and master.
And that banker, if he doesn't think he has enough time to like learn about it, well, you'll have enough time when you die.
Right.
Okay. But usually a necessity comes up where you either,
you got,
that's kind of where the health issues are coming today. Is
makes
that
you scream to stop and go, okay, reprioritize everything.
Right. And that's kind of what we're all about. We know that a lot of people aren't going to want to put any effort into that, and that's just how it is, and they're going to deal with whatever problems come, and that's what they want to do, and that's fine. But a big percentage of the population, I mean, we have more than four people that listen to this show now.
Wow.
So
I'm
pretty sure it's four. So the population is growing that, hey, I want to do things to improve my health because I understand that it's not going to happen on its own anymore.
Nikki, what are your thoughts on the Vitafusion brand?
I don't know a lot about this company, but when I look at the ingredients, I'm like, oh, this is perfect if I want garbage. Because the first ingredient, I think, was glucose. And then the first one was glucose syrup, and the second one was sucrose.
What was it? Protein?
They're like jelly. They're like...
like power gels?
Chewy, like vitamin chew kind of things for adults.
Okay.
Kind of stuff. And
so just like candy.
Yeah, so it's basically candy where we're going to give you vitamins in that candy.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of doing that. And Will and I have talked about wanting to create some type of, you know, gelatin thing that has nutrients in it, especially for kids, because that would trick kids into
eating.
Oh,
like gummy bear.
Yeah, gummy
bear. We've
got
some recipes that...
Right, so we made some recipes, but that doesn't...
Essential gummy bears.
You know, another problem is, right?
Essential gummies.
Essential gummy bears. That's be the name.
That's the new brand.
Those will be out in 17 years.
You're on the package, Kenna.
Okay.
But the other problem was that the ingredients were like gelatin. And if you're using gelatin that's just made from anything, the guts of anything, it can be a problem because, you know, the body has a lot of nutrients in there, but it can also store junk in connective tissues and places like that. So if it's a crappy animal that's pumped with drugs and living in its own feces all day, it's just not a healthy animal. A lot of those toxins go into those type of tissues. And so you don't want to use that as a supplement. That's why we use the grass-fed collagen in our protein powder, because that was one of the things that took us so long to find, because we wanted a good source. It has to be a quality animal, because you're pulling a concentrated form of nutrients out of that. Same when you're making bone broth, you want to use good bones when you do that.
Yeah, so just sitting around eating Jello.
That's not the
route. Yeah, I wouldn't take like a Kentucky Fried Chicken and take the bones.
I've been saving up my bones for my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I'm gonna make a broth. No.
Cheryl, I'm interested in hearing about CLA, conjugated linoleic acid. I've taken them before and it seemed to work. Could have been my exercise, but I also hear it doesn't work.
I love it when people say that. I was using this supplement and I lost 30 pounds. Oh, by the way, I eliminated all my carbs.
I
stopped eating fried chicken.
Started a complete workout routine.
Right. And I was running 3 times a week and I lifted weights. Well, then it was probably just that supplement. But CLA is kind of an interesting thing, because you do hear people saying, hey, it helped me lose weight. And then you hear other people saying, hey, it didn't help me lose weight. And it comes from the omega-6 fatty acid family type of thing. So one thing to look at is if someone is holding on to a lot of weight because they're very overly anabolic and at the cellular level they can't let go of any junk whatsoever, then anything that's going to help them become less anabolic could be beneficial on them dropping some weight, getting rid of some junk. Another thing is that, you know, you look at that fact that the body needs fats to be able to let go of stored fat. And, you know, using things like coconut oil to do that, it can be beneficial for a lot of people if they can process the fats correctly. But, you know, when you look at the other spectrum, if it's a fatty acid and somebody's already too far catabolic, is that going to make them much worse? Have you ever used CLA?
No, I think I used it in my like early days of reading Muscle and Fitness. And
right, me too.
Along with a weight gainer and a just HMB and all these things, like just pushing my chemistry in like both directions really hard and not having any clue of how it was actually supposed to work. But I heard that it burned fat.
Right, and that's why I took it too. And I didn't. When you look at the actual human studies on it, most of them say meh, you know,
right.
You know. And but when you look at the what we understand with, you know, physiology and imbalances and how some things work for great for one person and make another person worse, it kind of helps you understand. Oh, well, I could see where maybe that could benefit some people. In the same way that fish oil could benefit some people temporarily type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I use with clients, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Y'all should make coconut oil pills. Just put coconut oil
in. They have those
pills.
Some.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a few of them out there. But, you know, I just don't think the dose is high enough to get a really great
just
benefit.
Just eat coconut.
Yeah, I
guess you could do that.
Yeah.
Take a
I'm just thinking
of
another
oil.
Business venture. Katie from Sandpoint, Idaho. Thoughts on Protandim and similar supplements?
So this is, I looked it up. I wasn't familiar with it. But one thing that kind of bothers me, and maybe more than it should, it was a multi-level marketing company. And there's a lot of supplements out there that are multi-level marketing companies. And I'm not saying that none of them have good products. I imagine that some of them probably do have some kind of high quality stuff. The problem is that they say this is good for everybody, and they usually tell everybody that. And then you go to a big meeting or a big group function with them, and everybody's doing the Macarena and excited. So you're like, oh, I should take this supplement too, and it makes your health worse. And they're excited because you bought a starter kit and they made money. And so it kind of takes the health factor out of it and moves it towards a let's make money and promote this to everybody, and people get excited and they decide to take a whole bunch of it and their hair fell out. You know, because one of the things in this particular product was turmeric, which can be effective for inflammation, but it can also lower blood pressure, and somebody is already electrolyte deficient, it could make them worse, you know. Mm. So there's just not a lot of things that are good for everybody. And when a multi-level marketing company is saying, you know, acai berry is the best thing you'll ever have this bottle of sugar juice water.
Acai.
Right? Yeah, acai.
And goji.
Right. Yeah, that's the same thing. I mean, the same idea. So I'm just not a fan of when people are doing that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where I stand on that one. I have heard some of the science behind what they're trying to do with that particular supplement in other areas, like in the field of Alzheimer's and stuff like that. And I'm not closed off to that. I just don't know this particular supplement. And just looking at the ingredients, you can see it's not right for everybody. So we're going to have to pick this up next week because we still have a whole pile of questions. So come back and see what else we have to say about some of these more specific supplements that people had questions about, and we'll dig into some of that. But for now, just know that, remember, you got to look at your chemistry to understand what's right for you for most things.
If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. And go to healthprocourse.com to learn more about how to become a health coach. And you can also go on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net to learn about just about anything. Between these two guys, you'll learn everything and how to screw in a light bulb.
We can we can teach Spirograph. We're good at that.
Underwater basket.
Rubik's Cube.
Cool.
Okay. See you next week.
Bye.